So in the last several weeks, we've been leading up to Calvary, and today we are at the tomb. And the reason why the Easter story is so important to each and every one of us, the reason why we take time to read this, and the reason why this is such a big deal, is that Easter is the crux of it all. If the story of Easter is not true, then what are we doing here? All right? And the Bible tells us that we are saved. And though faith be the vehicle that gets you there, you have absolutely nothing to do with your own salvation. It is 100% found in Christ alone. It is the gift of God, and that gift of God is Jesus Christ himself, who came to earth for one reason. He did a lot of great things while he was here, but the ultimate reason why Jesus Christ came to earth was to die for sinners and then to be resurrected the third day. And this is an exclusive doctrine. It is not a doctrine of hate. It is not excluding anyone. But it is a doctrine of inclusion. But it is only found through Jesus Christ. He says that he is the way. He is the life. If you want to live a life of peace, a life of purpose, if you want eternal life after the life that you live here, if you want the truth, the reason why you were created, the reason why you exist on this earth, the reason why you're living, Jesus Christ is the way to get there, to find that purpose, to live that life, and to get eternal life. And then he adds the truth in love to make sure that everyone knows that he is the only way to the Father. And if Jesus Christ is not resurrected, if this story is not true, if Jesus Christ is not resurrected, then there's no reason to be here. Our preaching is empty. Our worshiping is in vain. All things that we do here have no purpose, have no meaning. But our faith is not futile. It's not futile. It's not in vain, because Jesus Christ is the risen, resurrected Son of God. Okay? So that is the importance. That is the reason why this story is so important. Okay? So this morning, we've been, throughout this week, we've been putting ourselves into the shoes of the characters of these stories in very peculiar ways. And I want to continue that theme this morning. And I want us to place ourselves into the shoes of the eyewitnesses that were there on that first original Easter morning. All right? Joseph was there. Joseph, you'll remember, he came to him at night. And so he came, or Nicodemus did. So him and he got the tomb with Nicodemus. And Joseph, a follower of Jesus, he is there. And it says that he was a council member, he was a just man, and he had the ability to go to Pilate and to get an audience with him. And it says that he went to Pilate and he asked if he could, after Christ was crucified and after death had come on to Jesus, if he could take the body. And that privilege was given to Joseph. And it says that when he was dead, he was taken off the cross, he was handed to Joseph, Joseph wrapped him. Okay, put the death linens on him, and then it went down, placed him into a tomb, and that was made out of rock. And then he took an enormous stone and rolled it over the covering of that tomb, blot out all the sun. There's no ability to get in. Okay, no one had ever been buried in this tomb before, and it says there that there was kind of a anxiety and a hurry in their spirit, in their work, because This was the day of preparation, and when the sun went down, then the Sabbath would have set on them. And they, being a good, just Jew, he needed to be prepared for the Sabbath, all right? And it says there that the women, the followers of Jesus, who had been there through the day, who had stuck with him during the crucifixion, it says that they were there, and they had followed him all the way from Galilee. They observed the tomb where he was laid, all right? They saw the body get taken down, wrapped, placed in the tomb. They saw the stone get rolled into the mouth of that tomb. And it says that they went home in a hurried fashion to prepare the spices that they would put on the body after the Sabbath was over. All right, so they had to get it done before the sun went down so that they could be good Jews and they could observe the Sabbath in an appropriate way. All right, and it said that the sun went down and they rested on the Sabbath according to what the Jewish law tells them to do. All right, and then after waiting those agonizing hours, as soon as the sun broke through, it says that it was the first day of the week and it was very early in the morning and the women came. And they were bringing with them spices, and they were headed down to the tomb of Jesus to do the work that the Sabbath stopped them from doing on Friday evening. All right? And it tells us here that it's Mary Magdalene, you know, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, some of the other women. And so this is a group of women who had been with Jesus throughout throughout his ministry, and they are taking the spices that they had prepared, and they are now headed down to the tomb to put the spices on the body of Jesus Christ. All right? And then it says there that as they are walking down there, and being women, I probably get in trouble for this one, all right? They begin to talk amongst themselves. All right? They didn't have a quiet little walk, but they started to talk. And the discussion becomes, how are we getting into the tomb? All right? So this is an important point, and I'm not just bringing this out so I can tell you a story, but this is an important point because of the mindset of where these women are. You see, they saw Jesus Christ die. Some of them were the ones still there, and they witnessed it, and they saw the body get taken off the cross, get mummified and wrapped up as they did in those days. They saw him, this body, get placed into a tomb, and they see this enormous rock rolled over the doorway of this tomb. And then the Sabbath came down. And then now, having prepared their spices, they are going back to the tomb because they know that the body of Jesus will be in this tomb. They saw it placed there. They saw this enormous rock rolled over the mouth of it. And they have these spices. Why are they carrying the spices? They're carrying the spices to put on the body of Jesus Christ, expecting him to be in the tomb. And as they're going down there, the discussion is, how are we getting into the tomb to take the spices that we have made to put on the body that we're expecting to be in the tomb? We can't get in there because we saw this enormous rock get rolled over the doorway of the tomb. So as they're walking down there, the discussion is, we're going this way. How are we getting in the tomb? There's a huge rock over it. And it says there that, but when they got down to the area of the tomb, they looked and they saw that the stone had been rolled away. This very large stone had rolled away from the doorway of the tomb. So we have women, eyewitnesses, present on that first Easter. And their mindset is, we are headed to the tomb of Jesus Christ to place spices on the body that we're expecting to be in the tomb behind a large stone. And it says that when they saw that the stone had been rolled away and that there was no body in the tomb, that they were greatly perplexed. And that word means that you can't put and can't make any sense out of the situation. So let's talk about Mary Magdalene. Loved Jesus Christ, okay, had a close relationship with Jesus Christ, was someone who was changed by the love of Jesus Christ, all right, and it says now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, it was still dark, she saw as she gets down there, as you can imagine, the anxiety, she probably hasn't slept in several hours, she's wanting to get down to that tomb, the Passover, the Sabbath had stopped her in her actions on Friday night. She's had to be a good Jew and observe the Sabbath and just waiting for the hour for the first pop light of sun to come through. And as she sees that, she hurries down and she gets down to the tomb and she saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. And she said that she runs the Peter and to the other disciples and she looks at them in great despair and says that they have taken the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and I don't know what they have done with him. So here we have Mary Magdalene, who loved Jesus Christ so much, sat at his feet, wept on his feet, okay, anointed the body. And we have this woman, an eyewitness to the miracles of Jesus Christ. And on this first Easter, she runs down to the tomb and she is destroyed. She is put into a situation where she doesn't know what to do because she can't find the body of Jesus Christ. And now she's accusing people of taking the body of Jesus Christ. All right, and it says that Mary stood outside the tomb weeping because the guys go down there and they look and they don't know what's happening, so they run back off, all right? And so when she gets down there with the guys and they run back off, she is crying because there seems to be no solution, no logic to happen through this situation. And it says that she's there and you can just even more destroyed than she could be on Friday evening. Not only has Jesus been killed, but now they've taken the body of Jesus Christ. And so she's at the door of the tomb weeping. And it says that as she's weeping, she stoops down and looks into the tomb. And when she looks in there, she sees two men in bright, shining clothing. And it says there that they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you crying?" And she says to them, "Because they have taken away the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't know where they have laid him." And it says that when she says this, she turns around, and there is Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, behind her. He's behind her, and it says that Jesus says to her, and I can imagine as he says it, she turns around and looks, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" And she looks at Jesus Christ and thinks he's the gardener. And she says, "Sir, if you have carried the body of Jesus Christ someplace, or if you know who has taken him and where they have taken him, please let me know. Please tell me." So here's Mary, who had such a close relationship with Jesus Christ, runs down to the tomb, is flabbergasted that it's open. She's horrified that there's no body there. She starts making accusation that someone, some grand conspiracy has happened. They've stolen the body of Jesus Christ. She sees angels in the tomb, and she's still asking, "Where is the body of Jesus Christ?" And Jesus Christ is standing behind her. He speaks to her, says, "Who are you looking for? Why are you crying?" She turns around, looks at him, assumes he is a gardener of the graveyard, and says, "Where have you taken the body of Jesus Christ?" And the reason is, she thinks Jesus is dead. And now we have the 11. The disciples who have seen the miracles of Jesus Christ, have seen the signs of wonders, have heard him preach, have heard him change people forever and ever, have seen him brought people back from the dead. And it says there that on the same day, in the evening of that day, being the first day of the week, so this is Sunday, this is Easter Sunday, where are these guys? Where are these men? These great men of faith, they are behind locked doors in fear of their lives. Why are they behind locked doors in fear of their lives? Because the man who commanded them and led their revolution has been killed. He has been arrested. He has been tried. He has been found guilty. He has been killed. And now they can only think that they are next. And they are behind locked doors in fear that anyone who may approach their door or even knock on their door would be there to arrest them and to torture them and eventually kill them. They were fearful. And who are they fearful of? Not just the Romans, but of their own people, because they saw the mob. All right? And let me just say this about the mob, all right? Several years ago, I don't know, Mike, you wrote that thing about Stephen, the witnesses, yep, and Saul of Tarsus. Man, that, whoever played that guy was great, I remember. All right. That's the truth of the story, okay? It was a week before, and they were like, no one has volunteered to be Saul, you're him. All right, so anyways, okay? But there's this scene there, and they opened it up where they had this opening on the stage, and we had pantyhose, something wadded with, Kurt made them. He has a lot of pantyhose at his house every now and then. All right. So he had stuffed something, cotton balls or something, into those pantyhose, and they looked like rocks, all right? And we practiced this. This is a true story, okay? We practiced this thing, seemed like 85 times, all right? And there was one person, I think it was actually Barb, who was supposed to, she knew the words, and at that word, she was supposed to be the first one to throw the rock at the character that was playing Stephen. And then when that happened, everybody else was supposed to, you know, throw their rocks, and this guy would take all these hits, and he would fall back into this hole, and, you know, it'd be a dramatic story to the, and then I was standing over there as Saul of Tarsus doing this, you know, happy about my work, that he had been killed and all that stuff, all right? And the reason why I'm telling you this is that through every one of those practices, and even the three nights that we did the play, we never once got to a time to where Barb threw the first rock. It's true, isn't it, huh? Do you know why? Because there was music going on, and then there was this conversation that was happening between Stephen and he was telling the story, and the crowd was getting worked up, and then the actors that were in this mob playing this story, they got so worked up that no one could wait to, I'm going to hit this dude with this wadded up ball of pantyhose, all right? Here goes. And that's what happened. And it was like the perfect experiment of human nature. Because I'm telling you that the mob, you get in a mob and you get blood boiling and you get people talking, man, you can get them to almost do anything. And these guys saw that. They saw what was going on. They saw, that means they saw hatred in their eyes, man. These dudes are, they're not just scared of the Romans. They're scared of their own people, okay? And they're locked behind doors. And then we got these two disciples who are taking this road. They're going, you know, they're headed out of town. They're getting out of town. And it says that they get this guy walking with them. It's Jesus Christ, all right? And they start telling him about all the things that are happening. He's like, what's going on? And they're like, man, well, you've been living under a rock. You've been in a cave for 3 days? You know, that kind of thing. But says, did you get it? Yeah. All right. A couple of you might get it at lunch. You're like, oh, I got that one. Okay. But it says that he drew near to them and they were talking and their eyes were restrained. Okay. And it says that they were telling them all the story. And this is what it says. It says, but we were hoping. Now you hear the tense of their conversation there. That's past tense. Do you hear what's happening there? The story of Jesus is over. They're telling a story that has ended. It's over. It's past tense. But we were hoping that he was going to be the Redeemer. Can you believe that they're saying that? That's what they're saying right there. We were hoping that he would be the Redeemer, but we were wrong because he died on the cross. All right? And it's been 3 days since that's happened. And it says that they were constrained, and they even asked him to stay with us throughout the night, dude. Come on, go with us. All right? So those are our eyewitnesses. How could those people not know who he is? How could they not recognize Jesus Christ? How could the 11 not know what was going on? I mean, he flat told them in plain language, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be found guilty. I will be put to the cross, and on the third day, I will rise up again. He told them that. And yet, they don't have a clue, do they? They're shaken behind locked doors. Mary Magdalene, how could she turn around and look at Jesus Christ, talk to him, and not know who he is? How could that happen? How, of all people on this earth, could she not know who Jesus Christ is? Huh? And then we got these two guys walking. I mean, you ever spent time in a car, like a 5-hour trip in a car? You really get to know people, don't you? You're like, I know more about you than I ever wanted to know, man. Okay. That's what's going on here. And these guys don't know who Jesus Christ is. Why is that? Why is that? It says there that the women said, they stood before them. They said, don't be afraid. Okay. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus Christ is alive, is what they're saying. He is not here. And this is present term. He is risen. He's still risen today. All right. Remember the words that he spoke to you in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and he will be crucified, and on the third day will rise again. And it says that when the angels said this to them, that they remembered his words. It clicked. It clicked who he was. Mary Magdalene, she's talking to Jesus Christ, looking him in the eyes and talking to him. She doesn't know who he is. And then it says there that Jesus Christ talks to her. Still, she does not know who it is. And then he says her name, Mary. It clicks. She falls down and says, it's you, the teacher. The 11, he comes right into them, right in the midst of them. And he says, peace be with you. That means be relieved of all the fears. Don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm here. I will be with you forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when he had said this, it said that he showed him his hands, his side. It's me. I'm alive. And then when he showed them who he was, it says that the disciples were glad that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the two disciples who had spent all day with him walking and talking, says there that they went and they sat down for dinner. He took the bread, he broke it, he blessed it, and when he did that, their eyes were opened, and they knew at that very second that it was Jesus Christ. What's the difference? What's the trigger? Here's the point. If you want to know who Jesus Christ really is, if you want to properly recognize Jesus Christ, if you want to know Jesus Christ when he comes to you, when he says your name, when he sits down to have communion with you, here is the differentiating factor that we all need to have. It is that we need to properly recognize who Jesus Christ is, and it is that he is the risen Savior, Son of God. That's the bottom line. It says that he is the resurrection. He is the life. If you believe in him, even if you die, you shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Jesus Christ as the resurrected Son of God, that person will never die. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he is resurrected in a new body, will never face death again, it says there that you will be saved. Jesus Christ says, I am he who lives, I was dead on your behalf. I died your death. And behold, I shall live forevermore because I am the resurrected Son of God. And here's the bottom line. Here's where I want to leave you with. Grace is greater than sin. Jesus Christ's grace is greater than any sin that could ever be committed. That's it. That's it. There's not anything that you can do, anything that you can be so ashamed of that the blood of Jesus Christ can't wipe away. His death wipes all sin away, removes it as far as the east is from the west. It makes it as if it never happened. And in our day of judgment, when we stand before God in his throne of judgment, he will say to us, why should I let you into eternal heaven forever? And I want to tell you, you'll look around, and unfortunately, your family will not be there for you. Your friends will not be there for you. None of your coworkers, none of that will ever be there for you. But Jesus Christ will rise up and say, this one is covered by my blood. He belongs to me. Enter thy good and faithful servant. The difference is recognizing who Jesus Christ truly is, and that is that he is the resurrected Son of God, the defeater of death. He has blotted out all sin. He is risen. And he lives at the right hand of the Father at this very moment. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We come to the altar for a lot of things. It's been a wonderful, wonderful morning. If you've got something facing you, and the anxiety setting in, the fear setting in, the unknowns are setting in, I'm asking you to come forward. Let's pray about it. Let's lift it up and place it into the hands of God. If something's beating down on you and you need some relief, let's come forward and let's pray about it. If you got the world by the string and it couldn't get better, come down and let's give all the glory to Jesus Christ. And if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, make the best decision that you could ever make and get saved on Easter Sunday. I opened up the altars to you this morning.